Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, happy Monday. You're listening to The Garden of Enlightenment with Lee Wildove, Gray Eye Smith, and Weaver of Dreams. And Frank Poetic Picasso is also a co-host, but I don't think he's going to be here tonight. We'll see. And so tonight's show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies available on amazon.com under the same moniker. So feel free to check those out and help to support these shows. Okay, so tonight's show is about front page picks and open poetry. So, I don't think Louis will be here tonight as well. But Weaver and I will take care of things. I'm going to go to the studio and check out to see who's online. Hello, Weaver.
Good evening, my dear.
How are you?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm
happy
glad
to have
you with me. I had a whole speech written out because I had no idea what to say if you weren't there to host. So, hello.
Awesome, awesome. All right, I'm going to bring on another caller here. Hello, 585. Is that you, Lord?
It sure enough is. How you doing, my friend? Hey, Katie.
Hello.
Good, thank you.
Good evening.
And how are you doing tonight?
Doing good. Doing good. Finding a few words, which is always nice.
Absolutely, yeah. All right. So it's glad, good to have you both here with me. I appreciate you calling in and spending your time. What do we have, Weaver?
Oh, yes. Ah. I forgot what I was doing. So I'm with you in just one moment, people. Oh, yes, we have Arizona Ranger by Greg Milhorn. What a fabulous name. And Laurent, would you like to read this for us?
Thank you, I will. Glasses, gotta have glasses. Arizona Ranger by Greg Milhorn. He rode in at high noon on his brown Mustang stud, hooves pounding like thunder on the sandy rock mud. Wearing a duster and spurs, drunks watch him ride by with fire water on their breath as the saloon girls all sigh. His Stetson hat pulled low, a strong figure he commands, cinched tight the leather reins in his two mighty hands. Here on official business, some townspeople said, to arrest a bandit outlaw, alive or maybe dead. They meet out in the street as the Comanche Kid made his play, and the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Mounting his wild stallion, now he'll ride a lonesome trail past the bunkhouse in Boot Hill, but that adventure's another tale. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lawrence. And such a descriptive and engaging poem. You know, it really carries you through from the start to the finish with his storyline. You can picture all this as he reads it, as you read it. Here on official business, some town people said, to arrest a bandit outlaw, alive or maybe dead. They meet out in the street as the Comanche Kid made his play, and the swiftness of the finger is still talked about today. You know, you can picture the old showdown at noon in that whole scene. So beautiful write and excellent read, Lloyd. Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, yes. I mean, this was epic. I liked it so much. I know nothing of cowboys and things, obviously, being Scottish. We don't really know much about Wild West, but it sounded exciting. This was written to a contest. It was called Cowboy Word Bank. Now, he doesn't let us know which words he had to use from the bank, but it was seamless anyway, whatever. Yes, so I thought it was really entertaining. I liked the hoofs pounding like thunder on the sandy rock mud, wearing a duster and spurs. Oh, no, those fabulous. Those big jackets are fabulous, aren't they? A duster and spurs. What, Tim Ride? But yes, I thoroughly enjoyed it, Greg Milhorn. It was most entertaining. Thank you so much.
Wonderful comment, Weaver. Thank you. And, Lauren, you read it. What did you think?
Wearing a duster and spurs, drunks watch him ride by with fire water on their breath as the saloon girls all sigh. I thought this was a very entertaining word bank result. Nicely rhymed. Excellent flow. It was colorful. It was creative. And it was skillful.
Great comment, Lark. Thank you for tuning in. Okay, Weaver, where are we to next?
Off me mute there, Weaver.
Oh, I'm sorry, I mutated. I apologize.
Into
don't blame
what
me.
Did you mute me?
I can't tell you. Anyway, I'm here now. Sorry. I'll try not to do that again because it's very annoying. Okay, we have. And I pronounced it also beautifully. Thistled in Green by Identity Crisis Deck. Now, I don't know if this is a lady or a man, but I'm just going to read it any word up. But I'm sure I can be both. I'm doing this because my mouth is going already, so I'm going to read quickly. Right, so we have Thistled in Green, and that's a beautiful picture. Lay me down in fields of jade outside the Emerald City, dressed in a gown chartreuse with a bow tinted in bright sage. Now, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Ray, could you take over, my dear? I need to do something. I can't talk at the moment. 2 seconds. You could just continue that read for me. Thank you, hon.
Sure. Thistled in Green by Identity Crisis. Lay me down in fields of jade outside the Emerald City, dressed in a gown chartreuse with a bow tinted in bright sage. The corridors are painted juniper with highlights of lime and olive, a sweet pine fragrance filling the air within my castle. Thistled in Green. Excellent, right? It's so descriptive and engaging, you know, that really pulls you into that scene of the picture, if that's her prompt. But it's just a beautiful painting of a picture, I mean, painting of a poem. Excellent, excellently done, Identity Crisis. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
I'm sorry, I didn't actually hear it. I had to go and find a fisherman's friend. And my voice is going and my mouth is so dry, so sorry. Could you just go until the rent? Very nice, actually. Did you try it?
Well, great. You did a great job reading it, so I'll take over for you. How's that, dear?
Thank you.
Yeah. 8 lines, different shades of green, descriptive. Really, a wonderful appreciation of that picture, which I adore. To find a spot like that, it's absolutely magic. And this is a lot of likes. People like good brevities. More proof of that. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lauren. That was a great comment. And what do we have next, Weaver?
Next we have To the Man Behind the Red and White Fursuit by Richard Eisman. Gray, could you read this, please?
Yeah, sure. Just give me 1 second here. Okay. To the man behind the red and white fursuit. To the man behind the red and white fursuit, as one who doesn't don a skinny golden cross, a shiny golden cross. I've never written for one of these before, but now letters can bring magic, even more so when intoned aloud. So here goes. I ask that your red and white suit spreads like a blanket to cover those without. I ask for sympathy or empathy to flow from warmth of your ruddy cheeks to those holding for shelter, huddling for shelter beneath the rain of bombs. I ask that your belly lap lightens broken hearts, for your snow-kissed eyes to embrace the wounded child within, that your love for the missus rains down like a tropical thunderstorm, soothing all from oppression's heat. I ask that each turn of your reindeer sparks growth and fellowship, that every city fills with paternal light, so that smiles spread quicker than viruses and wintry healing mist rises north to envelop all. End poem. And that was a touching poem, you know, just a beautiful sentiment in there, you know, basically asking for world peace and, you know, less suffering in the world. So an excellent write and fantastic to read. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, that was so touching. That was just lovely. I've always wished so hard that every day could be like the way we feel at Christmas. I don't see why not, because if you can feel it once, you can keep on feeling it. And it would be so much nicer for everybody to have that much love floating about. So, yes, I think this is beautiful. And I applaud you for your sentiment. And thank you for sharing, Richard.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And, Lord, what did you think?
I love the warmth in Richard's words. I can feel it dissipating the January cold right now. Such wonderful wishes asked for so openly. No subterfuge. He seeks something that sparks growth and fellowship. I like the use of the word paternal, and every city fills with paternal light. I had to smile when he said so that smiles spread quicker than viruses, and a wintry healing mist rises north to envelop all. The empathy that he seeks is almost magic, as is this poem in many ways, a magical poem. Well done.
Great comment, Lord. Thank you. Okay, Weaver, what do we have next?
Next we have, I draped plastic garland over your grave because the real ones, and I presume that last word is died, by Sandra Lee. And I'll read this. Dearest Mandy, in brackets Banjo, I'm draping plastic garland over your resting place because the real ones died too soon, and the flowers of your life bloom across my chest. From this Magulialli, dirt under the nails of my overextended heart, winks, to the heavy roots of evening where the stars and planets are blindfolded, and the dark armbands encircling me are those crows cawing at the starling murmuration in your rounded, up your eyes of no cages. You would love that bit about your eyes. And these lungs at the tips of my fingers breathe hello from the breathing fields of sun to sun, where your fears are laid to rest beneath paper napkin refrains, yearning for that something of dreams without these bats of anger. And my simple bread breaks upon the cuff of your sleeve, brushing their crumbs through Roman candle space into your heart, into your hear the fiddle wind, and all the pressures of my blood rejoice. Therein swallows of a hallelujah throat, where your human condition poetry unpacked her final suitcase within the rib cavity of the endless universe. Between pressed verses, milk of legend spills to earth, breathe soulful mountains. Epilogue, Mandy and her love. Meet me at the lake of I Gave You Myself, where we left the planet pledging to unite in autumn after midnight, shredded its hour into dawn, and with that aim, we met in the clearing at sunrise, behind a screen of sycamores, away from no diamonds forever white lace. The twin oak acre had all the nutrients to nourish the womb of my vision, so we lingered along banks of goldenrod, waving from waterlines, as our toes dipped in amid September air. Then I opened my journal of you, reading my adoration for just the subtle scuff of your boots, along with your touch above my brow, giving my language to your hands as you ran them the length of me, leaving 3 trillion memories from my shoulders to my ankles, always with me. And your gaze landed on the lightning bolt tattoo below my life clavicle upon the muscle of my spirit, the same way your father must have gazed at your mother until the clouds are forbidden. The infinitum of forever flame burns slow, fiddling violins. End poem.
Well, your voice held up for that one. Great job. And, you know, that's such a touching poem. The infatuation of forever flames burned slow, fiddling violins. Such an amazing ending to a beautiful poem. It speaks to banjo, you know, in such a way that captures the essence of her spirit, which is a beautiful thing. And I thought it was fascinating. What did you think, Lauren?
I think that sometimes the right words don't come to you immediately when someone that you treasure passes very unexpectedly at entirely the wrong time of their life. Time has to go by, I think. Things settle and things build up inside of you. And when they're ready, they'll come out, as they did here. There's a lot to go over, and I won't take the time because most of it wouldn't add anything. It would just be an expression of sentiments. But the way that she remembers her in terms of the description, I opened my journal of you reading my adoration for just the subtle scuff of your boots along with your touch above my brow, giving my language to your hands. You ran them the length of me, leaving 3 trillion memories to my shoulders, to my ankles. I mean, that brings out the emotion in you, an admiration for the poet whose language is sublime. Wonderful tribute.
Great comment, Mark. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, that was a hard one to read. But such a lovely sentiment, such a lovely reflection of someone's existence, beautifully written, and so personal, so very, very personal. I thought that was wonderful. All I can say is my heart goes out. And this was a beautiful, beautiful piece of poetry, so thank you for sharing with us.
Great comment, Weaver. So what do we have next?
What do we have next? Okay, don't panic anybody. We're here. Yay, got it. Yeah, this is such a hard job. right. Who Hurts by Manchild 9. And Laurent, would you grace us with your wonderful tones, please?
Thank you. I'll
sure.
Read. Who Hurts? You know who hurts? The disco dancers, court jester clothes, cartoon dance moves, crusty spoons, burnt pipes, stuff their Jordaches with ladies' night hard on them, and Saturday night fever. Party hardy now. Whose heart bleeds the most? Boys and girls in glittery, glad, rakish rags, vacant eyes and big hair, bookie fever, shake, shake, shake. You know who hurts? Not you, whiner, word crafter, spewer of pathos, your innards heaving, entrails, the travails of your journey from disco dancer to poet. And poet, man. I like that. Unmute there, we were.
Great reading.
Hello.
Lord. Oh, sorry, it's me. Great read, Lauren. And I really like it. You know, it speaks to, you know, the pain that people have and the journeys that they are on. The travails of your journey from disco dancer to poet. Just a fascinating write with deep intentions of ladies' night hard-ons and Saturday night fever, party hardy now. Whose heart bleeds the most? Boys and girls in glittery glad, rakish rags, vacant eyes and big hair, boogie fever, shake, shake, shake. Yeah, speaks to the life that is lived by those in pain. And just a beautiful poem. Excellent read, Lawrence. Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, yes, you could actually hear the music. This was cool. I liked it. Who Hurts? The disco dancers, court jesters, clothes, cartoon dance moves, crusty spoons, burnt hornpipes, stuff the door dash with ladies' night. Hard-ons and Saturday night fever, party hearty now. That is just amazing. Yeah. You know, when you think about it, you're looking back at that particular era, they were court jester clothes, and they did move in weird ways. Not that they're much better now, I don't think. If you can jump up and down, you can dance nowadays, I think. Yes, I thought that was brilliant. It really brought to life that inner heaving entrails, the travails of your journey from disco dancer to poet. Oh, yes. That's a right dig. I like it. Yes, this was very well done. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you, Weaver. Fantastic comment. And Laura, you read it. What did you think?
I like this. I thought it was very clever, very humorous in a sarcastic way, if you will. What do they say about disco? Disco is dead. So who hurts? Well, the disco dancers hurt. Their court jester clothes, cartoon dance moves, and all the rest of it. Because it's gone. And whose heart bleeds the most? Well, the boys and girls and glittery glad, rakish rags. The ones who appreciated disco enough to devote their evenings to dance to it, to listen to it. And however, you know who hurts? Not you, whiner. And here we have someone who has managed to take the journey from disco dancer to poet. I think the implication is that the pain of missing the disco is the subject matter of his writing, spewer of pathos, whiner, word crafter. I liked it.
Wonderful comment, Laura. Thank you. Okay, Weaver, what do we have next?
And next we have Shadow Landscapes by Xylophonic Blues. And I think I'll take a little shot at this myself. Okay, going in. Oh, a butterfly. Oh, wow. Right, okay. Phantoms rise in bisque dawn winds blown. Cadmium, her absence walks. Sound speaks incessantly, how the buds unfold. Dusk, incline gentle, and the landscape rich. Honey, aired root traces upon the chart brush. Altitude smell your hand as the arm swings, striding. Thus cast the promises in shadow. Blood-edged, flattening, projections ledge. Ridges, panoramic, clear language spans. Sands ivy mind gazing downstream, holding my umbrella open. Night-worn moon yields morn rays. The nature of my quests, keen blade cutting, through paths uncertain brambles. Rust scraps under the stairs, images braided carousel, useless given the nature of my quest. Each day distant draws to cover anxiety. Roots of language keep my eyes on the compass. I may look like a blur of speed, engaging the whole field's width. Puddles, life's mind advancing an inch, never to arrive. Mirror's reflection soaking up the world. Every stop, a passage of sponges through the center of the eye. Definition describes the inner world's edge, water and dry land. Florette palms, frond arrow, a declining sun. An arrest for clarity's color of a word. Vista skies, pale gray, abundantly thrown back behind the eye. Surface wind murmurs. Imagine and an image stepped over the shadow. Window pane chapels whirl illusions. Twilight midnight moods, beating torrents across concrete plain. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. Yeah, that was an excellent poem. You know, I really liked the flow of it. You know, it really had a beautiful flow. The nature of my quests keep blade cutting through paths uncertain humbles. Rust scraps under the stairs, images blended, graded carousel, useless given the nature of my quest. Each day distance draws to cover anxiety. Roots of language keep my eye on the compass. I made it look like a blue of speed, engaging in the whole fields with puddles, life's line, advancing in inch, never to arrive. Just a fascinating poem. And in his author's notes, he says, sorry, hold on one sec. In his author's notes, he says, poem is an abstract, surreal response to the artist's portrait entitled Butterfly and themed within her Shadowscapes collection. So just a fascinating, right? Beautifully done. What did you think, Lauren?
It is an abstraction, but a wonderful one. Fascinated by the image, the eyes within the flower, the approaching butterfly, resplendent in its orange and yellow garb. And this journey, we go on this journey with someone who's walking, looking around her, savoring what the eyes show her, whether it be in the bright sun of day or dusk, casting the promises in shadow, blurred edge, flattening projections, ledge, bridges, panoramic, clear language spans. She calls these her quests, a keen blade cutting through paths, uncertain brambles, a voyage to life, if you will, a reflection of what goes on in her, seen through the eye of the appreciation of the image. Really well done.
Fantastic comment, Laura. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
Well, this is fantastic. I mean, this the kind of mind that could put together this in such a way that, I mean, I apologize for stumbling a couple of times, but I'm always fresh to the poem, so I've never read it before. So sometimes it takes me a minute or two to get my stride in, but I thought it was wonderful. I mean, it really thus cast the promises in shadow. That line alone is just marvelous. Blurred edge, flattening project, I can't even read it now, projections ledge, bridges, panoramic, clear language spans. Now you see there you have another beautiful collection of words telling me that it doesn't really matter if you don't understand immediately. Whatever it is, eventually, if you listen and you learn, you can cross that bridge, which I think is wonderful. That's what I got out of it anyway. So yes, it was beautiful, and I did appreciate it a great deal. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. Are you on mute?
Gray must be.
I am. I am. I got the mute. I got the mute virus. I'm sorry. That was a beautiful read, Weaver. And excellent, right? So what do we have next?
We have me remembering to take the mute button down, and we have, oh, wow, Poppy by Diane D. Oh, well, I'm going to have to do this one, gentlemen. I'm terribly sorry, but I love her work. And I'm the lady here, so I can do it. I'm doing what I want. Here we have Poppy. Okay. Poppy was a little man, tiny. He kept his flood pants on, with leather suspenders, wearing a Y on his back. Shuffled in every morning, thinning marble hair, army cut, took his mahogany-coated seat beside the wood-burning stove, grabbed his well-smoked, wool-faced meerschaum pipe, packed and tamped the bowl with John Player's No. 6 tobacco. Shaky hands held the shank, I grabbed the silver-boned E-embossed camel lighter, flick, and Poppy began his day. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. You know, it's a very beautiful poem, you know, speaking to the life of Poppy. You know, he was a little man, tiny. He kept his flood pants up with leather suspenders, wearing a Y on his back. And then shaky hands held the shank. I grabbed the silver-boned E-embossed camel lighter, flick, and Poppy begins his day. Yeah, but, you know, it's a fascinating character that she's given life to. So just a beautiful write and a fantastic read, Weaver. Lauren, what did you think?
I love poems like these that just take moments and give you enough detail, just enough detail, but withhold everything like the history or what he is going to do on that day when he shuffles in the morning, thinning marbly hair, army cut, and sitting in that mahogany quilted seat beside the wood-burning stove. If he comes in every morning, he's not there for a haircut, that's for sure. So he must be doing something or sitting there to draw bone or talk. Or this poem goes back in time. I see this happening back in the 20s or 100 years ago in the 20s. Listen to me, Mr. 20th Century. Really a nice piece.
Thank you, Lord. That was a beautiful comment. Okay, Weaver, what did you think?
Well, Poppy reminds me so much of my own granddad on my mother's side, the Harrities. And he was a tiny little man, such a cute, but very, very fierce little man, because he was half Irish, half Scottish, the worst of both sides. Oh, he was brilliant, and this reminded me so much of him, because that was what he was like. So army cut hair, beside the wood stove with his pipe. You didn't have a wolf-faced Meerschaum pipe, unluckily, but yeah, he enjoyed his pipe. So that was beautiful. I really enjoyed it. It was nostalgic and sweet and full of love. And Poppy had his pipe for the day. That was wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Diane.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Weaver. Thank you for sharing. All right, what do we have next, Weaver?
Next we have The Moonlight Ache in the Marrow of My Being by Pam Ray. Now, there's another lady's poetry coming up next, so in the fairness of me not hogging that limelight all the time, Laurent, I'm sure Pam would love you to read this.
Sure, if I can pull my eyes away from the figure that graces this poem, I will. The Moonlight Ache in the Marrow of My Being. There is love here, beating beneath my chest, a sense of hope in the early rising thoughts of you, meditations slipping into my ribcage like a piece of starry sky, ready to find the whole of me. There is love in my wounds and faith in my marrow. I believe in light. I believe in shadows. I believe the two should entwine, that truth and love will be revealed. My spine dreams of your kisses, climbing their way to that parchment on the back of my neck, where you will trace desire with your dandelion breath, and I will make wishes in the moaning of your name. Look at me, my love. Study every angle and curve of my being. Then you will know. These are not the shoulder blades of a timid woman. They pull themselves back, revealing a soft pool of moonlit ache, ready to feel the fullness of loving you. Gardens grow beneath my flesh, needing to be revealed in the long release of seeds held tight. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lord. I'm sure Pam would be happy with that. There is love here beating beneath my chest, a sense of hope in the early rising thoughts of you, meditation slipping into my ribcage like a piece of starry sky, ready to find the whole of me. Yeah, such beautiful sentiment there. And I really like the way she closed it out. With gardens grow beneath my flesh, needing to be revealed in the long release of seeds held tight. Really beautiful and loving throughout. Fantastic job, Pam. Excellent read, Laurent. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes. From the very beginning, from the title itself, you knew what you were going to expect from that picture prompt. Absolutely beautiful. I used that once as well in one of my poems. It's just wonderful. a sense of hope in the early rising thoughts of you. There is love in my wounds and faith in my marrow. Isn't that just divine? Ah. I believe in light. I believe in shadows. I believe the two should entwine. That truth and love will be revealed. That's just really, I mean, as one would expect from our dear Pam, just an absolute delight. And I really enjoyed your read of it as well. I'm glad you read it. Rather than myself, Laurent, I thought it was beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Pam. I really enjoyed that. I'm going to have to cool down now.
Beautiful comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Laurent, you read it. What did you think?
You sitting?
I was.
Hello, Laurent.
Me, like, mad virus, and I succumbed, but I beat it off. So here I am.
Yay!
Yeah, I think this is the kind of poem that could be read equally by a man or a woman. She has a style that lends itself to that. But I will read what I wrote the first time that I read this. I thought it was a hugely impressive piece. Pam uses emotions convincingly, along with great flow. And I thought the shoulder blade stanza was well-nigh perfect. Jesus, she writes well.
Great comment. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Weaver, what do we have next?
Next we have Silhouette by A. Armandel. Did I hear an echo before I even said it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was so odd. Woo! I think I'm haunted. Okay. Silhouette, and I'll read this one. Silhouette. Billowing imagination catches in the shadows. The sunlight, save the one distant spot. The smoky silhouette whose rays pass through an unstoppable torrent, flowing, leaking, only released by fingers and wrist. End poem. I'm so sorry I stumbled there, but over to you, Gray.
You did a beautiful read on that, Weaver. And I really liked the poem. The smoky silhouettes which those rays pass through, an unstoppable torrent, flowing, freaking, leaking, only released by fingers and wrists. Just a fantastic imagery poem. I really liked the opening stanza as well, with billowing imagination catches in the shadows. Just a beautiful, beautiful poem. What did you think, Laurent?
Get off mute again. This is a complicated brevity in respect to the ways it can be interpreted. I had noted previously that one astute soul thought it was a little bit like letting water, a drop of water, roll off your skin. It doesn't leave anything behind. It just leaves, referring to only release by fingers and wrists. So, making a shadow within the rays of sunlight seem like water or liquid was brilliant. Fine piece.
Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, I thought this was spot on. I thought this was very interesting. And I think I can say that word now. Billowing imagination catches in the shadows, vignetting the sunlight, save the one distant spot. Right, I think that's lovely. Then we have the unstoppable torrent, flowing, leaking, only released by fingers and wrist. That just sounds to me as though someone's actually terrible. Don't say that, Kate. Shut up. That is a really interesting, very interesting brevity. And those last two lines really intrigue me. I'm going to have to ask the question when I can. Only released by fingers and wrist. So turning something on, presumably. Yes, I love poetry. It makes me feel like I'm an idiot. Makes you think, doesn't it? Yeah, cool. Thank you so much, Amy. I enjoyed that.
Thank you, Weaver. Beautiful comment. So what do we have next, Weaver?
We have the epitome. Oh, woman, you are showing your ignorance. The epitome of perfection is she, by Titus Llewellyn. And Gray, would you like to read this?
Okay, are you sure there's not a SoundCloud for that? Because he usually puts a SoundCloud with his.
Oh, yes, I'm so sorry. I'm not doing my job here at all. Yes,
yes,
there's a SoundCloud.
There is. Okay, I will play that.
Epitome of perfection is she. I love you from the skin down to the bone, flawless to the point, linen white throughout in keeping with the oyster shell, a throne of mountain mist, the white cliff so devout. The softest lace has placed itself around you, when every color known to man is spun, a foam of silver nitrate displays the dew. How finite art does porcelain become, reflective of the angel this you are, like powder chalk am I to Mount Carmel, until the thaw of love draws from afar, cold frost the living memory I must tell. To eggshell any gloss to praise that man who best describes the woman he relates, albeit heavenly to lift like no one can, to bless the light a chrome true love creates. A shell which opens wide a grander scale, carried by the gods she is milk and honey. Perfection is for real, a man's holy grail. Quartz, the root of all affections, abalone.
Well, he always does such an amazing job with his SoundClouds. And I really liked it, you know. It speaks to the reverence that he has for this person. And I see that he used a word bank, which is just fabulous because it was flawless. You couldn't tell that it was a word bank. So excellent write and an excellent read. Titus, beautiful job. What did you think, Weaver?
I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I love that music. That's kind of like a, what's the word for that old-fashioned type of piano? Harpsichord, not harpsichord, pentachord, and it's hard to think about it. But it's got that lovely little tinkly sound, which I think is so pretty and went so beautifully with this particular poetry. So I really enjoyed it. Thank you. And I love the SoundCloud. Thank you so much.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Lauren, what did you think?
What will I ever think when I hear something by Titus Llewellyn? I know it's going to be excellent. I know I have to not have any preconceptions about it. And this is one of those. This is a poem that's much more accessible than some of his. And what I like about it is the exquisite metaphors which dot the line and inspiration to the reader, really, if you go through there and pick out lines that you like. And Titus at this point, I think, is that in his career of writing, he's at apogee in terms of his writing, right there at the top. Great piece.
Thank you, Laura. Great comment. Okay, Weaver, what do we have next?
And, up next we have one I thought I'd put down earlier. Here we go. Try this. There we have it. Good. Kyanite Desires by Alice McCarb. So I guess I'll read this. Okay. The blushing bride reluctantly leaves her midnight lover's caress, adorned in silks of ebony starlight, a Milky Way of Kyanite Desires. Aurora's sweet smile lights up the world. Bathed in this deliciously dark, forbidden love, heartbeats of onyx hellfire, firestormed in fine fragrance, give wing to her golden chariot as she chases the heavens, for she is the first light, the herald of incandescent heresy. North, south, east, west, Our Lady of the Dawn has tasted lovers aplenty, and pined over dear Tithmus, but never has she shone so brightly as she does for her dark star. Veiled in tears of dying resplendence, the goddess of night has finally claimed her ray of eternal luminescence. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And such a powerfully descriptive poem. You can feel the desires, you know, veiled in tears of dying resplendent, goddess of night has finally claimed her ray of eternal luminescence. And, you know, it's such a loving and endearing poem. The blushing bride reluctantly leaves her midnight lover's cross, adorned in silk of ebony starlight, a Milky Way of kyanite desires. Aurora's sweet smile lights up the world. Beautiful poem. What did you think, Laurent?
I was pretty impressed by this piece. This kyanite is a brand new word to me. I always enjoy something new, a deep, deep blue. I like that. Kyanite desires. I like the blend of classical mythological poetry. I think it works well when you're telling a story, because there are certain assumptions the reader can make. And what she does with Our Lady of the Dawn is very well done, acting as if time can assume physical form and become the light or the dark. It's really a special piece. Great front page pick.
I agree wholeheartedly. Beautiful comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. From the first line onwards, the blushing bride reluctantly leaves her midnight lover's caress, adorned in silks of ebony starlight, a Milky Way. I can't spell to that word. I think that's absolutely beautiful. It's the sun, it's the moon, it's the beautiful, never-ending movement of day and night. And no matter how bad the night has been, the day can make it so much better. So yes, I really, really enjoyed this. I thought it was sensual as well as being so well written. So thank you, Alice, for that. I really enjoyed it.
Beautiful comment, Weaver. Thank you. Okay, so what do we have next, Weaver?
The cat's got her tongue.
Yeah.
Oh, hello. Hello. Hello.
Hi, Weaver.
You didn't hear any of that, did you? Oh, dear. Oh, I so wish there was an alarm that went off when I didn't press the button. I'd feel so much better. Sorry, people. I hate dead air. We have Darkenora now, the ocean's grave, which I will read, seeing as I've been a nuisance again. So, dream heavy, your silhouette upon the water's surface, reflecting beneath the calm, your grave, the ocean floor. Trust the soft promises that you'll be carried along the undertow dressed in stars that crawl in this lake of salt water. You're encrusted with shells and sand dollars, a princess of the sea. When copper met gold, the sun rising on the horizon, you were discovered by fishermen, cremated and tossed back to be free. End poem.
Beautiful read, and that's such a touching poem with incredible imagery as well. In this lake of salt water, you're encrusted with shells and sand dollars, a princess of the sea. When copper met gold, the sun rising for the horizon, you were discovered by fishermen, cremated and tossed back to the sea. To be free, sorry. Yeah, amazing imagery and metaphors in that. You know, the spirit lives in the ocean, which is a beautiful thing. Excellent, right? Excellent read. What did you think, Lord?
I love all things nautical. even when they're spiritual, even when they're dark, even when they're a fantasy, the way this is, the idea of someone, some mythical creature living under the sea is, of course, fascinating and has been always fascinating to any seafaring folk who greeted the ocean with all manner of superstition and belief, or disbelief in, for that matter. But well done, well written, powerful piece.
Thank you, Lord. Wonderful comment. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was just so beautiful. It was just in this lake of salt water, you're encrusted with shells and sand dollars, a princess of the sea. When copper met gold, the sun rising on the horizon, you were discovered by fishermen, cremated and tossed back to be free. Oh, lovely. How really lovely. Beautifully written. Yeah, Ocean's Grave, it does. It's exactly what that is. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Dark and Auras. I enjoyed reading it too. Did I read it? Yes, I did. It was lovely. Thank you.
Yes, beautiful read and an excellent write as well. Very touching and engaging. What do we have next, Weaver?
Next we have Indignity by Ruby2446. Laurent, would you care to read this?
Certainly. Find the darn thing. There we are. Indignity. The indignity stripped to the waist for a so-called lover carrying a rose takes what you offer, leaving nothing but a heart run through by his thorn-riddled rose. Dignity shredded, vultures circle, and a wolf watches. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lord. And that's such a heartfelt poem, you know, it's such a brevity, but the indignity stripped to the waist for a so-called lover carrying a rose, you know, there's pain and sadness in there. Dignity shredded, vulture circle, and a wolf watches. You know, just a sad, sad poem with beautiful imagery, and the betrayal in there is palpable. So excellent write and fantastic read, Lauren. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, this is... The picture prompt alone, so sad. And there's a wolf. I see the wolf watching. Yes, stripped to the waist for a so-called lover. Carrying a rose takes what you offer, leaving nothing but a heart run through by his thorn-riddled rose. Yes, that is somebody who's really been hurt badly. A horrible, horrible feeling for anybody. But to be... to lose your dignity and then find out that the person you care about doesn't give a jot is the most heartrending thing in the world. And whether this is from a true story or whether this is from the prompt giving rise to the story, it was beautiful and heartbreaking and very well written. So thank you, Ruby. I really enjoyed it.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Laura, you read it. What did you think?
I'll heartily endorse what Weaver said about this piece, adding that the last three lines, dignity shredded, vultures circle, and a wolf watches, is a wonderful wind-up to how emotionally wounded we can be in a moment like this. And being cast off once, well, the vultures are aware of that, and the wolf waits for his opportunity to slip inside that wounded heart and work is evil. Very well done.
Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. Okay, Weaver, what's up next? I think we're into the open poetry now, eh?
Yes. Yes, we are. I'm going to put this one up. It's got a SoundCloud. Just give me a moment. It's by Akana Armour, and it's My Faithful Madness. And
okay.
The SoundCloud. Thank you.
Thank you. Let not poison pollute the labyrinths of minds. For my faithful madness is mine alone to bear. Where clear skies drift amid stormy tempests that gust their gales on shipwrecked thoughts. What truths speak forth from twisted musings that dance through veils of twirling ghosts? Their tongues spew words of spectral hues to echo through halls of empty abandonment. Do not bend the pillars of fractured notions. Speak only my truths through melting mists. Tread softly through dreams in haunted ruins. I call upon you, walk gently upon my brow. Shine shards of wisdom in celestial visions. Let us watch the winds that blow in silence. Together we will sail to forbidden shores, towards the fringe of a fallen eternity. You beckon from within, on wakened murmurs, to utter your tales behind masked facades. Beside me floats this pervasive presence. It embraces the hearts of jaded wills. In flocks dwell cries on soaring winds, unfettered from doctrines of faded decrees, mocking the dawn with shades of twilight, to deem deceptions on widowed whispers. Yet, though we meet where lucidity falters, my only true friend of demented doubt, we shall roam where the mighty must yield. For you, my faithful Magnus, are mine alone. Watch phantoms swim in stolen secrets, meandering the depths of tainted seas. Like salmon, we swim against surging tides, endlessly searching to find a way home.
Wow, that was another epic SoundCloud from Arcana. He's so amazing at those. And, you know, this poem is fabulous. It really speaks to accepting your madness and bringing it into your world. You beckon from within awakened murmurs to utter your tales behind masked facades. Beside me floats the pervasive presence that embraces the hearts of jaded wills. Just a wonderful poem, just very descriptive and engaging throughout. His author's notes is rather long, but I'd like to take a look at it here. So, alternating lines are madness speaking within. One, I became insane with the long interlude, the horrible sanity. Well, just a wonderful poem. Very descriptive and engaging throughout. So just a beautiful, beautiful job, Arcana. And what did you think, Weaver?
Oh, excellent. I really enjoyed it. I love... it's just... We forget how hard this must be to have his words linked so beautifully with the music behind him. That takes a great deal of expertise. And the fact that he continues and continues. You can't tell if he's had to stop and start again. It's seamless. It's beautiful. And I mean, obviously, I love anything to do with them. This was about Poe, wasn't it? Yeah. Anything to do with Edgar Allan Poe is fascinating. His mind, I would sit at that man's feet if I could and learn from him. So, I mean, this, yes, you could actually hear the Poe influence. Let not poison pollute the labyrinths of mind, for my faithful madness is mine alone to bear. Where clear skies drift and amid stormy tempests that gust their gales on shipwrecked thoughts. Just beautiful. I mean, obviously you can't help but admire, but also I can't help but enjoy totally his voice and his way with words. Yes, beautifully done, Arcana. Thank you for allowing us to hear that.
I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you, Weaver. And Laurent, what are your thoughts?
I'd like to pick up, Gray, on the reference you made to the AN, where he talks about alternating lines, madness and lucidity. By example, if we take the penultimate stanza, and I read the first and third lines, yet though we meet where lucidity falters, we shall roam where the mighty must yield. And then I'll do the second and fourth, my only true friend of demented doubt, for you, my faithful madness, are mine alone. And he does that all the way through, so it's very clever the way he speaks in two voices. Wonderfully done.
Great comment. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Weaver, what do we have next?
And next we have Brushstrokes of the Common Agony by Laurent. Would you care to read this for us? You don't have a SoundCloud, do you? No.
No, if I'm here, there is no SoundCloud. Not that I know how to do a SoundCloud to begin with.
Of course. No, you see, I'm thinking of me because I'd much rather have a SoundCloud whether I'm here or not. Oh, dear. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway.
This is a little macabre. I apologize for its darkness, but it was a dark period of history. Brushstrokes of a Common Agony. Dawn brings cruel morning. Corpses spill from doorways into wailing streets, ringing with the calls of death that accompany this awful gathering. Bodies left lying in ragged windrows like silent stalks, waiting for the refuse cart to collect a human harvest. Gray snow falls, swirling from village to village, worlds that have become heaped flesh. Loved ones and neighbors carted like cattle, jostled and slipping in a rough dance that carries them towards bonfires that feed the sky. My breath is flooded with unholy air, pestilent and perverse miasma that chokes life and bloodlets into buckets which bubble darkly, an onyx ooze that glistens in the wavering light of faith. I stagger down winding roads on my last day of days, while death broods over its twisted clutch, hatching a black plague that colors me in brushstrokes of the common agony. I do not recognize my skin. My face is a stranger's face, wearing eyes that have seen the halls of hell, fires that roar within, burning souls to a tight binding, wicks in melting wax. Extinguished am I. End poem.
Beautiful read. it's such an engaging poem, you know, it's so descriptive and really pulls you into that period of time with this plague in the streets filled with bodies and fires burning, feeding the sky. Yeah, just a fascinating poem on the subject of the plague. I really enjoyed it. Very deep and powerful. Excellent imagery as well. Thank you so much for sharing, Lauren.
Thank you.
Weaver, what did you think?
Chilled up my back. So well done. I mean, you dawn brings cruel mornings. Corpses spill from doorways into wailing streets, ringing with the calls of death that accompany this awful gathering. I mean, it must have been, you've captured the horror of it. You've captured the futility of it as well. You know, I mean, you were there, you can't avoid it. It's going to get you or it's not, kind of. It's that kind of Russian roulette where you're dealing with that kind of thing, that plague. I don't suppose they even knew how it spread in those days. But, oh, this was, I mean, you've got so many beautiful lines. Well, I say beautiful. I don't know if I should say beautiful exactly, but mind-blowing might be the better. Blood lets into buckets which bubble darkly, an onyx ooze that glistens in the waving light of faith. And then that last stanza, that really got me. I do not recognize my skin, my face is a stranger's face. Wearing eyes that have seen the halls of hell and the fires that roar within, burning souls to a tight winding, wicks in melting wax. Ah, extinguished am I. Yeah, I really enjoyed that, man. Really, and it read so beautifully as well. So thank you so much for sharing.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thank you.
I did. It scared the bejesus out of me, but I did. I have nightmares, but don't worry about it.
I would recommend the book Narcissus and Goldman by Hermann Hesse as a great book about the Black Plague.
I learned about that as a child.
Would you like to say anything about your poem, Lord?
Only that the period in time fascinates me, and to see that we live among COVID deniers in this day and age is sometimes tends me to believe that the worst is ahead of us, not behind us.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Mark. Thank you. Okay, Weaver, what do we have next?
By the way, I agree with you totally on that score, Laurent. The people who can pretend that things don't happen and deny them are maybe the things that we should worry about, or the people we should worry about. A lot of weird people out there. Right, now we have The Naked Night by Poetic Picasso, and we have a sound cloud, I think.
Okie dokie, I'll get to that. Mi amor. We dip into the sensual sea of our penetrating passion, submerging with the deepest discovery of a soaked seduction, like two lost lovers seeking the treasures of playful pleasures under the glistening glow above the roaring ripples of lush lust. Your kinetic kisses conduce me to luscious lips of a narrow inlet beyond the edge of the persuaded peaks of your blossoming bosom in the voluptuous valley of the temptations of a blushing burst, where the mystic moon infuses our bodies with its luminous light. The exotic tides swell into the tsunami of a heightened hunger, and our melting mouths yearn for the taste of its wet succulence,
upon the sweet scent of the floating flowers, of fresh petals, of jasmines, listening to the whispering whirlpool, releasing mountain moans of the sea. Hush, for the naked night is still a vast virgin unexplored, invoking the subtle silence of the fleeting fluctuation of waves, waiting for the surge of drenched desires from the seductive sea beneath the sultry sheet of the erotic echoes of an island's call. Tú eres mi noche salvaje, mi amante, mi luna, el mar que me enloquece, la sed llenando mi boca. You are my wild night, my lover, my moon, the sea driving me mad, the thirst quenching my mouth. Mi amor, mi calor.
There's another master of SoundClouds as well. You know, his SoundClouds are so powerfully with his voice and his read. You know, he really brings out the emotions of the poem and the intent as well. So just a wonderful job, Frank. Beautifully written and an excellent read as well. What did you think, Weaver?
Ah, he doesn't fail, does he? He really doesn't. Yes, another sensual, poem read beautifully. I love the way he slows and then starts to build up the tension as he goes on. I like it, but I like the exotic tides swell into the tsunami of a heightened hunger, and our melting mouths yearn for the taste of its wet succulence upon the sweet scent of the floating flowers, of fresh petals of jasmine. That's lovely, really. I mean, it just beautiful stanzas, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you so much. We miss hearing you, Frank, so thank you for that.
Wonderful comment, Weaver, thank you. And Lauren, what did you think?
I liked it. I mean, Frank doesn't disappoint. But it had a sense tonight of an evening of erotic poetry brought to you by Dracula Reeds, voiced by Christopher Lee. That's what this sounded like, this malevolent yet appealing voice, very, very deep, not threatening but dangerous. And he blew me away with his words, "Your kinetic kisses conduce me to luscious lips of a narrow inlet beyond the edge of the persuaded peaks of your blossoming bosom." Wow.
Sorry, I was having trouble with my mute button. What do we have next, Weaver?
And next we have "If Love Wasn't Something" by Hope So. And I will give this a read. "If this glass that was once filled with red wine became empty, just know the imprints of your lips, line for line, will forever stay on a dying day when this belly is no longer filled with your words. Unknowingly succumb to the shifts of tides, where amber bottles of Nego Midlow crash against the white waves that break, washing near, tossing afar, there the ashes of us at the tombstone pile of crushed filtered tobacco smokes that slips from fishermen's dirty fingers whose backs were too sore to take a knee, bowing down to lament if this body ever became not your body, in turn your body never again being ours. Take that finger that once hushed the howling and let the spirit weep. I was on the grave. Sorry, I couldn't say that. Try to untangle two bound bodies with rusted scythes owned by the reaper. Paloma knot rips apart to set the bluebird free, snuffing out this heart that carried the moon for you. I pray that day never arrived when I said, Ser mi almoto, be my last. I meant it. Those are more than the words of a poet. Every ounce of this indigenous Hispanic woman, Miss Curvis T. Nested Payne, mad poet, I ask you to drink forever. This macari, kick and swirl your limbs in waves of meal resting on shores of Corpus Christi sand. Guardia mi perdo, por favor. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And I really enjoyed the poem. You know, it took you on this journey of what love isn't. If the glass that was once filled with red wine became empty, just know the imprints of your lips, line for line, will forever stay. On a dying day, when the belly, this belly is no longer filled with your words, unknowingly succumbs to the shifts of the tides, when amber tones of Nago Midlow crush against the white waves that break, washing near, tossing afar, lay the ashes of us at the tombstone pile of crushed, filtered tobacco smokes that slip from the fisherman's dirty fingers. Wow, incredible imagery. And you can feel the intent of this poem with the love that never dies. So just a beautiful write and excellent read, Weaver. Lauren, what did you think?
I was really struck by the language in this, the way it was written. I don't think it's just a form, but there's a flow of the imagery that is so smooth. And I was most struck, I think, by what you just got done quoting. But every bit of it is, try to untangle two bound bodies with rusted thighs owned by the reaper. Palomar knot rips apart to set the bluebird free, snuffing out this heart that carried the moon for you. It's evocative writing. It paints wonderful imagery. It's competent, more than competent. It's so well written. Definitely has my approval.
Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Weaver, you read it. What did you think?
Well, first of all, as usual, I apologize for stumbling. I only have the one language. Doesn't appear to work too well. Sorry, Hope, but it was beautifully written. I really, really enjoyed it. So tender and so... There's so much longing in this sadness. It feels to me as if this is somebody who knows that things are not going to stay the same forever and so wants to make sure that their feelings are known. If this glass that was once filled with red wine became empty, just know the imprints of your lips, line for line, will forever stay on a dying day when this belly is no longer filled with your words. So lovely. Really, it really touched me. Really did. I enjoyed it a lot. So thank you so much for sharing.
Beautiful comment, Weaver. And Lauren, what did you think?
I think I just commented.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Weaver, what do we have next?
Next we have Demon Divorce Letter by Nuno. And there is a SoundCloud for this, Gray.
Okay, I will play that. I'm not seeing it here.
Yeah, I found it a bit difficult.
I don't see one with it.
If you get to, I'm just underneath Poetic the Castle, has a SoundCloud, thank you, Chulo, and then recording played. SoundCloud. Or, yeah, it obviously is not a proper SoundCloud then. Anyway, Laurent, would you like to read this, please?
Yes, I would. Demon Divorce Letter by Nuno Cardoso. I take a drag on this hand-rolled cigarette, inhale downward, roller coaster smoke down Portugal-stained amber lungs, blow cigarette ash that scatters on a dark blue attire of a long-time sentence, while I tap dance on handwritten severance. Tucked in the center, in the chest of this poem, there's an expensive red wine, ink-fueled signature meant for the marine kingdom of perdition. The sin of the mother will not begin anew. Hell-dog bride, I command you to be gone. Unconscious of the frenzy on the tides that I stirred, the poet grape bursts and pollutes them. The floor where all feet stand shudders in rage. Paintings of underwater nail enamel on my rear sting still, but the glimmering dark claw brushes no longer. Strike the back of the X. Saltwater-soaked veils now turn to dust when lit with the blazing blood of Christ. Trees do not rot. Nails do not rust. Mobs mock. Traitors do not trust. Time never ends until time does. Vinegar does thirst. Offsprings make amends. Spears do thrust. Saints do not rise. Underlings not required. Dreams will save children ready for their first graves, but this poem has gone far past its expiration date. So I'll jump straight forward. There's a reason why I flushed this poem with visual components. That's how you get rid of shit, is it not? End poem.
Wonderful read, Laurent. It was so animated. But, you know, I really liked it. It pulls you in from the beginning. Huh, I take a drag on this hand-rolled cigarette. Inhale downward. Roller coaster smoke down Portugal-stained amber lungs and below cigarette ash that scatters on the dark blue attire of a long-time sentence while I tap dance on handwritten severance. Wow. Incredible. Just incredible throughout. Beautiful write and read, Laurent. What did you think, Weaver?
Yes, there's an awful lot to digest in this one, isn't there? This is crazy, but very well written. I think I liked the most. Trees do not rot. Nails do not rust. Mobs mock. Traitors do not trust. Time never ends until time does. Vinegar does thirst. Offsprings make amends. Spirits do thrust. Saints do not rise. Underlings not required. Dreams will save children ready for their first graves. Yep. There is a lot in this. This is a kind of a mental dump, as it were. Which I'm sure I saw somewhere. Very interesting. Very clever. I love the way it moved. It's got so much movement in this one. And beautifully written. So, yes, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Nanu. I'm sorry, I thought you had SoundCloud. My mistake.
Absolutely, no problem. And, Laurent, what did you think?
I really like the poem. It's very modern. It's presented in a unique way that I think works very well. I'm not always a fan of any poetry that isn't left margin. But I like the way this moves, because the language moves in much the same way. Very visual. And that second stanza, tucked in the center in the chest of this poem, there's an expensive red wine ink-fueled signature meant for the marine kingdom of perdition. The sin of the mother will not begin anew. Hell dog bride, I command you to be gone. This is a woman who I think has had an affair, and he knows about it. Perhaps frenzy that he stirs. I like the way he did that. The poet great bursts and pollutes them. He animates the floor. Pollutes them, the floor where all feet stand, shudders in rage. I like personification of inanimate objects. A very powerful piece, and it definitely flushes the shit out.
Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. All right, Weaver, what do we have next?
Well, that was the last of the open poetry. So I'm going back to the front page picks as we have some time. So we have we already had the indignity, haven't we, stupid woman? Bear with me a moment. Is this fun? Oh, dear, I'm having a nervous breakdown on air.
I like people who talk to themselves on air. It works.
Yeah, you would think it had been invented just for that, wouldn't you? Oh, dear me. I have so much fun. Oh, man. Here we are. I got it. I can do this. This is not a problem. Okay, now we have Temptation Tree, a collab with Papa Mama Jama and Aphasiana. I'll just double check there isn't any SoundCloud. Nope. So, Ray, would you read this, please? Are you mutated?
I am. I was halfway through it. this is by Aphasiana and Papa Mama Jama. It's called Temptation's Tree. The tree stood erect and tall, drinking sweet sunlight near my window, watered by a lapping, translucent stream. Green leaves sparkled like new snow. White bark branches stretched, symmetrical, heavy with fruit of a kind I've not seen before, a combination of strawberry, red, and mango, ripe and big as oranges, full of dimples, reminiscent of pomegranate seeds. My mouth watered for the taste of it harbored, like a man swells for the lips of his woman. Standing in my gallery, the ripe red fruits were out of reach, planted in my neighbor's yard. At noontime, a restless wind gathered a branch and pushed it to my window. Sugary fruits fluttered like diamonds, and soon my face was wet with delicious juices as I sipped savagely. And then it's the tree's perspective. I noticed him drinking in my sunbathing. The wind flayed matchmaker with a nudge. He handled my fruit with a firm but gentle hand, appreciating my unconventional offerings with five his senses. He moaned, making me feel delicious and deserved. End poem. Wow, that was a beautiful collaboration. I really enjoyed it, you know. It really takes a fruit tree to another level. And, you know, it's powerful personification of a tree and its fruit and the relationship with a man next door. So wonderful, right? And fabulous to read it. Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, it was so good. I want some of that. That sounds like an amazing, juicy fruit. And they were out of reach in his neighbor's yard. That was very clever. I like that. Yes. I noticed him drinking in my sunbathing. The wind played matchmaker with a nudge. He handled my fruit with a firm but gentle hand, appreciating my unconventional offerings with five his senses. He moaned, making me feel delicious and deserving. That was just beautiful. And, I mean, obviously, Papa Mama Jama's part of it was absolutely amazing as well. The tree stood erect and tall, drinking sweet sunlight near my window, watered by a lapping, translucent stream. Green leaves sparkled like new snow. Isn't that lovely? Yes, that was a beautiful collaboration. And bravo to both of you. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for allowing us to read it.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. Lenore, what are your thoughts?
I really enjoy this. Covet not thy neighbor's fruit, whether it hangs from a branch or walks about in two, on two legs, sunbathing. Either way, take a tree and make it the he who covets what his neighbor has as a stand-in for himself is really well done. Excellent.
Great comment. Thank you, Laurent. All right, Weaver, what do we have next?
Next we have September Rains by Cedar Chapman. And Laurent, could you read this for us, please?
Yeah, I really like this particular piece. September Rains. September rains slash through trees, twigs and branches rasp and rustle, wrought in distress, caught in a match of wills, waiting to see which trunk bends and which trunk breaks. Each windy breath stokes the fire as cindered origami rains down, painting the verdant canvas with brimstone and auburn hues. Intermittent gusts howl their battle cry, a cold and cruel reminder that morning frost is soon to follow. Stacks of flames pile on the soil, providing little warmth, as sun rays peek through gray and blue, offering only condolences and blessings. Titans rage against sleeping giants, furry critters burrow in mud holes, seedlings flex and limber, their heads tilted, preying on a pew, hoping to see another sunrise. The wind offers a truce, penance and meditation, its resonating silence interrupted only by raindrops pitter-pattering behind high-pitched chirps. Cautious eyes peer while blue jays take flight. The mighty oak and elm remain steadfast and defiant, their bare limbs clench onto empty nests, holding on to the tribute that not long ago, in the shadows, robins once sang, and sparrows pleaded for worms, though ghosts they are now. Tomorrow, tomorrow, they shall all return. And excellent poem.
Beautiful read, Lauren.
Hello? Ray?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been talking the whole time. Beautiful read, Lauren. Such a descriptive, powerful poem. I really liked where it says, the wind offers a truce, penance, and meditation. Its resonating silence interrupted only by raindrops pitter-pattering behind high-pitched chains, chirps. Cautious eyes peer while blue jays take flight. Such beautiful imagery in that. The whole poem is fantastic throughout. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, anything to do with the wind, and I am a complete sucker. I love the wind. I think it's the only thing. I mean, I know snow falls, rain falls, but you can see the movement of wind as it goes, and it gusts, and it touches, and it moves. I think it's wonderful. And I thought this was wonderful. Intermittent gusts howl their battle cry, a cold and cruel reminder that morning frost is soon to follow. Stacks of flames pile on the soil, providing little warmth, as sun's rays peek through gray and blue, offering only condolences and blessings. I think this was so good and warranted a front page pick by Goody. It really was. So thank you so much, Cedar. I enjoyed it a lot.
Okay, Sadie, so. Lauren, what did you think?
Excellent, right on nature and wind and autumn. Those are three things that make one for wonderful writing, because everything is in a state of flux. Everything is changing. And, yeah, those September rains, they can be cold, they can be slashing. Some excellent lines have been quoted already. Let me quote, each windy breath stokes the fire as Senator Origami rains down, painting his hand with brimstone and auburn hues. Really wonderfully, well, wonderfully voiced. Great job, poet.
So sorry for that. I thought I had it muted. I apologize. But great comment, Dort. Okay, Weaver, what do we have next?
Next we have, am I on? Yes. No Way Back by Manchild99. And, oh, I'll just read it. Why not? I love to have, your dog sounds so cute, by the way. Woofing away in the background. I hope it's a dog.
She's my little food fighter. She's a little, like a little food dog.
Oh,
yeah.
Lovely. I love dogs.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Say hello. Give her a little pat for me, please. Say Katie says hello. Right, No Way Back. Thank you. Some things just don't work no more. A broken hinge on the old front door. The wire mesh on the chicken pen don't stop the foxes from getting in. An old hippie bus just takes up space, like most things in this forsaken place. Part of a nirvana that was never to be, the rainbow's end for you and me. We were once young and so clear-sighted, but our dream fell short, our vision blighted. And all Bob's wit and all Jimmy's notes, Janice's wail that so clearly emotes, what once was a quaint and warm little shack with chickens and goats and a hayfield out back is an overgrown field of the well-worn track of our road to nowhere with no way back. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And I really liked the poem. You know, it was powerful in its imagery. And, you know, some things just don't work no more. A broken hinge on the front door. The wire mesh on the chicken boxes from getting in. You know, it really speaks to what once was a quaint, warm little shack with chickens and goats and hay bed out back is an overgrown field off the well-worn track of our road to nowhere. With no way back. Beautiful imagery, and I really like the intent of not being able to return home, because home's gone once you leave it. So excellent, right, Manchild, and a fabulous read, Weaver. What did you think, Lauren?
The scene is a familiar one, isn't it? But usually, as the movie begins, we don't see the front screen door. We hear it banging in the wind, and nobody else is around. There's enough topical references in this. Bob, Jimmy, Janice, to know that this person is right out of my generation, because it is so familiar. Those days when all you wanted was a hippie bus, friends just like you with long hair, and a road trip to Nirvana, smoking rainbows from here to there. When we were young and so clear-sighted. But you know what? Sometimes vision and hope can be thwarted, and all that's left is a well-worn track off our road to nowhere with no way back. It's melancholy in a way. Dreams dashed, hopes unrealized. Really well written. Like this a lot.
Excellent comment, Lauren. Thank you. Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I'm so glad I read this one. Oh, so good. Really, really loved it. I enjoyed it. It was just, nostalgia. I was a hippie. I was a damn good hippie. I loved those days. I never wanted to grow older. Mentally, I never did, but unfortunately. So this in my head, I'm still 18. I don't give a damn.
So aren't we all, dear. So aren't we all.
Yes, isn't it lovely?
Yeah,
memories. Yeah, I love it. And this just brought it all back to me. I mean, oh, how sad. We were once young and so clear-sighted, but our dream fell short. Our vision black. And I have to say, the rhyming. Oh, so good. Just perfect, in fact, for me. I, I, I'm a sucker for a lovely rhyme, and this is a lovely rhyme. Oh, it's so good. I mean, it's just 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. It's beautiful. So I want to read more of your work, Manchild 99, because I think it's right up my boulevard, as they say. Beautifully done. Thank you so much for sharing. You've brightened my day. Or night. Mm-hmm.
Great comment.
Actually, I believe
thank
it's Manchild.
Yeah, it's Manchild.
Oh, I'm dyslexic as well then, huh?
Nah, I thought it was Manchild for 2 years.
Oh, dear. Well, yeah, oh my, I see it now. You see, I should read things more carefully.
Gray is always 18 on his birthday. Is it your birthday, Gray?
Yeah, it was December 17th, yeah. And I turned 18 again.
Oh, happy
so.
Birthday, old son.
Oh,
you unfortunate
birthday.
Person who has a birthday next to Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah. No problem.
Oh,
thank you.
So, shall we go on? Yes, we shall. Next we have
Absolutely.
Landscapes of the Truth by Dammit Dave. And Laurent, could you read this for us, please?
With pleasure. Landscapes of Truth. I was trying to remember who Dammit Dave was years ago. I knew him. He had a name. He stuck with it for a long time. Then he started adopting personas. Oh, well. Landscapes of Truth. There are few of us in this chaotic world who can truly see things exactly as they are, without the rose-colored glasses of religion, and without the promise of paradise eternal. Our landscapes are painted only with the bold colors of truth. And yet, despite the rearing heads of war, famine, poverty, and pestilence, despite the regiments of ugliness that build unsightly walls around us, we can still appreciate the portrait of pulchritude that remains and find a reason to smile. End poem.
That was a beautiful read, Laurent. And I liked it. You know, it really is a powerful poem. It's kind of short, but, you know, it really pulls you in through the whole right. There are a few of us in this chaotic world who can truly see things exactly as they are, without rose-colored glasses of religion and without promise of paradise eternal. And we can still incorporate the portrait of pulchritude that remains to find a reason to smile. Yeah, fantastic, right? And I really liked it. You know, it was beautifully written with excellent imagery and metaphor throughout. So wonderful, right? And what did you think, Weaver?
I thought this was very well written. I like the way it brings you to the realization that we can actually ignore a lot of things and pretend things aren't happening. We can forget when things are going well, that things can also go very badly. So I think it was very well written. There are a few of us in this chaotic world who can truly see things exactly as they are, without the rose-colored glasses of religion and without the promise of paradise eternal. Yep, that's very, very true. It's very easy to forget painful things because it's easier for us not to have to think about them. And I think that's... There are certain things in life I will never forget, certain things in life I could never forgive. I don't hate because that only hurts me. That doesn't hurt the person that you hate because they're oblivious. So I don't do that. I don't hate. I just get even. That's the way I do it. So damn it, Dave, this was beautifully done. And I really enjoy it. Lovely little play with the words. I don't want to use the word cheeky, but it's got that. It brings a little bit more lightness towards the end because we can find a reason to smile. But I really thought it was very well done. Thank you for sharing.
Excellent comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Laurent, what did you think of the poem that you read?
I appreciate Dammit Dave's bluntness and his honesty. I don't think this poem is intended to be an indictment of religion, because it isn't. But it is an appreciation of the ability to see the world as it is, not as you wished it was. Too often I see people organize their entire lives around, as he says, the promise of paradise eternal, making certain assumptions, believing certain things that do not help them. And yet, I have only appreciation for people who live the word and help their fellow human beings, and certainly what they believe is usually for the betterment of man and mankind. So I have to appreciate it from that point of view. But I personally do agree with everything that is said here. Excellent.
Great comment, Lord. And what's up next, Weaver?
Right. What's up next is Trainwreck by A.R. Mundell. And I shall read this. Trainwreck. My body is a train wreck that collided with my mind. Doors and walls and ribs of steel, which I can't hide behind. They lie strewn all about me, so smoking with decay, mangled for the world to see, abandoned where they lay. No living are amongst them, none prowl the empty cars, no hands left set to rights the rubble which still chars. Wires go on sparking, frayed edges cut the breeze, luring moth-like ghosts to them with frantic buzzing pleas. And the fire keeps on burning, consuming all it mounts, raging through the shapeless forms where it recounts. Glass shards scattered everywhere, still piercing at my heart, shrapnel clogging arteries with pulse that just won't start. The boiler room is flooded with coal of blackest plight. Slowly orange slithers through like stars within the night. Stars turn sun and engine roars with gurgling bloody spark, loud enough to quell the earth, but fragile as a lark. Pistons moving dizzily, but wheels are all but dust, gore grinding in their fever till there's nothing left but rust. Terrible fluid draining into the valley floor, thoughts and hopes and time-bought skills, not cargo anymore. Fire's fingers reach for it, the puddle sets ablaze, it races through the carnage, and the wreckage burns for days. And when the ashes frolic, the aftermath is bleak, skeletal remains of trains, which will never reach their peak. End poem.
Great read, Weaver. And I really liked it. You know, I'm going to read the author's notes here. It says, a poem I wrote a couple of months ago, written about a flare-up of long
COVID. Yeah.
About feeling like my mind collided with my body, leaving both in disrepair. Was also feeling blank about ever recovering from it, which is what the end is about. Well, just a haunting, right? Deeply metaphorical and fascinating throughout. It really takes you on the journey of this metaphorical train wreck, which is his own self, which is her own self, which is a beautiful thing to be able to do. Fabulous job, A.R. Mundell. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was fabulous. It's very good to read as well. Thank you so much. I thought it was beautifully written. And it was just so, I don't know, I can't think of the word. It really brought home to me what it must have been like to be around something that was living and yet dying, empty cars, wires going sparking, something that shouldn't have died but did die. Yeah, I know it's about trains, but it felt so much more than that to me. It felt as if it was talking about, which obviously it was, talking about not so much just train, which I took. Oh, shut up, Kate. Oh, sorry, folks. I think my brain's addled. But anyway, I really enjoyed it. Oh, dear, I enjoyed it. I understood it, and I loved it very much. So thank you for sharing with us, Amy.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Lauren, what did you think?
I like the way this is set up into many stanzas. Not that I think it's too long, it's not. But if you think about a train and all the train cars in line, and when you visit the scene of the disaster, the train wreck, you walk from car to car, and each one has something different in it. As he says, they lie strewn all about me, still smoking with decay, and speaks of wires that are sparking, and fire that keeps on burning, and glass scattered everywhere, and a boiler room. And it gives you that feeling of as you proceed through the wreck, you see more and more and understand more and more, perhaps. I think it's a great metaphor for the way that one feels after being sick or while being sick. You do feel like a train wreck. So great piece. Very clever.
Excellent comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Weaver, I think we have time for one more. We have 4 minutes, so.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Dropped my little button thingy. All right, here we have. I hope we haven't read this one already. No Way Back by Mankind.
We've read that one.
We have. So it was the other one then. Hang on a sec. He has two, you see. And that flew me because my memory's not that good. Okay. Let's go back to here. Did we have Who Hurts? We did that as well, didn't we? Did we?
Yeah, we did.
I don't think we have anything left. Landscapes of Truth, we had that, didn't we?
Yep.
I don't think there's anything else left, actually. I think they've all been read, unless I'm completely going off my trolley.
It's quite possible.
Yeah, we've done very well tonight. Landscapes of Truth. We've had Landscapes of Truth by... And Memories of Our Autumn. Thank you, Lou. You're keeping track. You're doing very well. Thank you. Right, so, Laurent, would you like to read this?
Am I reading No Way Back?
Memories of Our Autumn.
Okay, I made that
mistake.
Okay,
I got it right here.
Memories of Our Autumn.
Thank you, my dear.
Cornflower lineaments crisscross, trussed lattice of scarlet Bordeaux, blossoming between silver moon shutters, warm ginger sighs, sunlight spinning where dawn infuses eyelashes with hibiscus teas and warm rays of tangerine, mosaic colors staining the naked canvas, pale pampas sculpt language and sound. Morning dews, moss spiders, transient web, gravity's thoughts so diaphanous, an alchemy of words, glances, liquid's ambiguous carousel, maple veins radiating axle in and out, charcoal moonless nights, vestments bosom feeding, planting, painting, writing, creating, gifting comfort, renewing tranquility, silent syllables, recorded air, breath and being, unexplored roads traversed, eyes among the viewless gales, cobblestones, champagne, apricot, lampshades, mahogany, vineyards, quilted gourd. We threw pennies in the roaring flood, childish dreams traveled, planks upon the old wooden bridge, lips traced cherry rouge, stepping stones across artery skin, misty ripples entwined burnished limbs, cinnamon honey sprinkled among canola wildflowers, riverbanks kissing mulberry, sumac red rose inked frost. Copper butterflies glide, crickets nestle in cotton shallows, boulders gurgling water, breeze fluttering through apple bark, blood orange alfalfa scarves wrapped with the earth's heat. Shrews stroll, mice run through thistle fox graves. Cider footsteps yawn over hidden rabbit holes, pockets crunch twig below. Amber sap oozing and autumn's rustling beneath the dim blue vault of night. The moon with the way-worn notes of joy and care, like clouds a sail on glassy streams, like visions flown voyagers, our winged flight, a sundress draping jar of fireflies, fading silent distant west. The heartache, twilight trembles, light has faded upon sunbeams dressed. End poem.
Beautiful read, and such an imagery-filled poem. You know, you can see all of this as you read through it. But his author's note says that a poem for a contest bringing fall to life, a beautiful me. We all know summer is over and fall is nipping right behind. Using all five senses, taste, touch, sight, smell, and sound, I want you to write a descriptive poem. It does not need to rhyme. Transport me into your mind. Be creative, innovative, unconventional. Wonderful, right? You know, it really is all of that and more. Captures the prompt incredibly. Beautiful job, Xylophonic Blues. What did you think, Weaver?
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. It really, and Laurent, what a beautiful read, by the way. Didn't falter a word. It was beautiful. And it entered on my birthday. That would have been lucky for somebody. Yes, I thought it was absolutely... Sorry, I'm stuck in my fisherman's friend again. Amber sat oozing in autumn's rustling beneath the dim blue vault of night, the moon with the way-worn notes of joy and care. I thought it was beautifully written. I really, it was just so... And I like the sectioned off so you know where you were within it. Beautifully written. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Really enjoyed it.
Wonderful comment, Weaver. And Laurent, you read it. What did you think?
Oh, I enjoyed it thoroughly. I'm afraid I read it way too fast. I was conscious of the time. I understand that my voice cut off several times, but Louie says she's going to read it next Monday, so that'll be great. As to the poem, excellent piece.
Great comment, Laurent. Thank you. And thank you both for calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time tonight with me. I appreciate you both. You're both wonderful. And have a great night. Good night, all. Much love.
Good night, my dear. Good night, Lauren. Good night. Good night, Louie.
Au revoir.